Hi, I'm Jax Jackie Brown, and I have a daughter, Fern, who is currently 4.5 months old.
Jax has cerebral palsy and uses a wheelchair.
I had this experience when Fern would have only been a few weeks old, and it was one of the first times we'd ever got out of the house and gone out. And my partner Anne, she just ran across the road to grab some cakes from another cafe, and I was left with Fern in the pram. And I had this moment of just feeling like someone could just come over and pick up my baby and start soothing her or whatever if she started crying, and feeling really scared by that and frightened and disempowered by that. Like, these people in this cafe are probably not reading me as her other mum. They might be reading me as a friend of Anne or maybe a family member. But if someone comes over and picks up my kid, yeah, I can assert that, hey, that's my child, and can you please not do that, or can you hand her to me, or whatever it is. But the reality is that most people are going to assume that I'm not the parent and that I'm not capable of doing X, Y, or Z.
Where do you think these assumptions come from?
The assumptions that we're not parents, I think, come from the fact that we're not shown to be parents anywhere, that it's just not considered an option for people with disabilities to be parents. And so people assume all the time that, you know, I'm not Anne's partner, that I must be a friend or a sister or something. Like, it's often assumed of people in queer relationships that we can't be lovers, but I think it's even more so assumed of disabled people.
What was the process of becoming parents for the two of you?
So obviously there was no sperm in our relationship. As much as we were trying the old-fashioned way, it just wasn't happening. And so we had to enter the IVF industry, which is full on. That was really hard as a disabled person to enter a medical industry again when I've had a lot of my childhood feeling really disempowered by the medical profession, to then give over my body to a medical space where disability was presumed to be an inherently negative, terrible thing. And we used my eggs in Anne's womb, so we did reciprocal IVF. And I remember we went around to one of the nurses and sat down, and she talked us through, you know, some of the costs that would be involved and what they could offer. And she said, for an extra fee, we can do genetic testing on you and any embryos. And I said, oh, no, actually, we've decided personally that we want to opt out of that. We're just going to accept whatever child we might be lucky enough to have. And she leaned across the table, put her hand on Anne's hand, looked her in the eye and said, you know, this is your choice, though. As though I wasn't even there in that moment. All donor sperm in Victoria is tested for a variety of disabilities, and it's only sperm that's found to be free of various kinds of impairments that is allowed to be used for the general public. So it is, eugenics is occurring.
What do you think about that?
I find it really sad. Like, different intersex conditions, so part of the LGBTI community is being screened out. And I think it's making human diversity less. It's seeing disability as this inherent negative personal individual attribute and not seeing it as an experience that is heavily shaped by an inaccessible society and the ideas that people hold about what disability might mean. A couple of years ago, Victoria changed the adoption law so that same-sex couples could adopt kids, which is awesome. But in the legislation, it says you have to be fit, healthy, and actively able to parent a child to be eligible to apply for adoption. And for me, I was like, it's amazing that same-sex couples can adopt. And it was right when we were talking about how would we want to have a baby, but that I would automatically be deemed ineligible because I would be seen as not healthy or not able to actively parent in a normative kind of way. We're kind of at the forefront of a baby boom for the LGBTIQ community in terms of the rates of us that are accessing IVF, and that's a new market now. But I think in terms of disability, there's still so few people with disabilities that are supported to have kids, and I think the more impairments a person has, the more access requirements a person has, the less likely they are to be supported to want to have kids.
What do you want to teach Fern about disability?
I want to teach her that it's a valuable part of who her parent is, that it's a valuable thing to bring into the world, that it provides her with a different perspective on things. I want to teach her that going down hills with me is really awesome. I want to show her what it feels like to go across gravel in my chair and leaves in my chair, and how it feels really different to when she's walking along beside me. Like, I want to show her as much as I can how I experience the world differently and have her be excited by that and maybe sometimes challenged by that. I want her to be able to challenge me and go, hey, Mama, I don't agree with you on this, or sometimes this sucks and it's really hard. I want her to be able to tell me what her perspective on it is.
Having a rest, I've got my leg off, see?
Chippies, fish and sauce.
I've come to a house in suburban Melbourne to meet another parent who's both queer and disabled.
Hi, my name is Jess Walton. I've got two kids, Agnes and Errol. I had cancer at 9 and my leg was amputated when I was 10. And that whole time, that 20 years or so, I hadn't really had connection to the disabled community, and I had felt like, well, I'm not really disabled enough to be part of that community, and I didn't know anyone. And there's no one when you become disabled who kind of comes along and teaches you what it means to be disabled and teaches you about disability pride and fills you in on the disability rights movement. And I didn't have any disabled role models. I didn't learn about disability in the curriculum. You know, I didn't have any peer support. I was very alone in my disability. The people around me were all able-bodied. And so disability was something that happened to other people somewhere else over there. And I felt distant from it and disconnected from it. And I felt like I would be an imposter in that community.
But Jess has always felt more accepted in the queer community.
I came out as queer when I was 17, and I've been part of that community for a long time, and I kind of found that community on my own very early on. And, you know, there were role models and people to kind of fill me in on the history of the LGBTI community and the rights movement, and I kind of almost grew up in that community. Whereas I have only recently connected into the disabled community. And so, yeah, I'm still getting to know that community. Both the disabled and the LGBTI community can exclude and forget people within their communities that belong to multiple marginalised communities. So, you know, there's ableism within the LGBTI community, and there's homophobia and transphobia in the disabled community. That's a fact, and that's something that needs to be dealt with. So I won't say that it's perfect, but what I will say is that we have within the LGBTI community, you know, we know other disabled parents who are in that community, and we've found a lot of really accepting, inclusive, open-minded people. And I think that it's often because people within the LGBTI community have done a lot of work thinking about who they are and dealing with bigotry and exclusion. And often if they're parents, they've thought carefully about what kind of parents they want to be, and there's a kind of recognition of the importance of diversity and inclusion and those sorts of values. So that's a community we feel really safe and accepted in. Some people think that disabled people are not meant to be sexual beings, and they kind of desexualise disabled people. And so the idea of disabled people, you know, falling in love and having a relationship and having sex and getting married and having kids and all those sorts of things are kind of things that disabled people are not meant to do. Or they'll think that certain disabled people can do those things but not others. So there's a lot of ableism in people's minds around sexuality, sex and parenting for disabled people.
Jess is proud of being disabled and queer, and she wants her kids to know that.
I hope that they pick up that I'm happy with my body, that I love my body, that I don't want to change anything about my body. Being disabled is part of my identity, and I wouldn't want to not be disabled. That's so much a part of who I am that I would never want to imagine myself without a disability. And so I hope my kids know that I'm proud of that, and that I'm not ashamed to be disabled. I'm not sad about being disabled. And in fact, it's a source of joy and pride, and that it's the reason for my connection to this amazing community of people.
But Jess feels like the mainstream community still has a long way to go.
20% of the population are disabled, so where are the stories of disabled parents in the media? Where are the people on our TV screens? Getting to see families where there are two mums and one or both is disabled, like, that would just be so nice. It took so many years for me to see, you know, gay parents on Play School, but when are we going to have gay disabled parents on Play School?